Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show, also chairman of the board of Mage LLC management consulting firm. And we're sitting here at our friend's office at the Social Scene. If you don't have the Social Scene app, you're not social, because this is the way it's going. Our next guest in a long line of entrepreneurs, Gail Breslow, director from the Clubhouse Network. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, tell us about the Clubhouse Network.
So the Clubhouse is an after-school program that was started almost 25 years ago by the Museum of Science in Boston, where our headquarters is, in collaboration with the MIT Media Lab. And the idea from the beginning was to provide a place where young people, in particular from low-income communities, could come and use technology for creative self-expression. So when you walk into a clubhouse, nobody's going to sit you down and tell you what to do. You're really invited to tap into your own interests, your own ideas, and explore and express those ideas through technology. And there are adult mentors there to help you, as well as peers, but it's a very non-hierarchical kind of approach, and it's very empowering, in particular for teens who, you know, often during the day are not invited to follow their own passions and their own dreams during the school day and during their time at the clubhouse, kind of tap into the joy of learning that for a lot of them, maybe they haven't experienced since kindergarten, or when, you know, since a time in their lives when someone really invited them to, think for themselves about how they might express and explore their interests and dreams and passions in life.
Well, excuse me if I get it wrong, but I would assume that it's not totally casual in terms of how students end up there. There must be some formula or system for how schools get attached to you and come through?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the first clubhouse was based at the Computer Museum, which is right next to where the Children's Museum today is in Boston. And it was a drop-in center. And that is still very much our model, that young people should be encouraged to vote with their feet to participate. And that act in and of itself is very empowering, because a lot of our members, and we don't call them students, we actually call them members, because of this very non-hierarchical learning approach. Everyone is a learner in the clubhouse space. There aren't teachers and students. But a lot of our members will tell us if they weren't coming to the clubhouse, they'd be just hanging out or maybe home watching TV, or they don't really know what they'd be doing. So just the fact of coming in and of itself is a very positive and healthy and productive step for youth to take. And then most clubhouses, and there are over 100 of them around the world, we'll have a membership form, but the membership itself is free. And then once you're signed up, you can come whenever you want. And a lot of our young people come 3-4 times a week.
Well, I guess once it becomes sort of part of your pattern and of interest, you're sort of nurturing them under their own sort of motivation. But is there a tendency that there's a certain age cutoff starting date, or no? You're not strict about that either.
Yeah, I think our sweet spot is serving teens. Most clubhouses are open to 10 to 18 year olds, and then a lot of times, once young adults age out, if you will, they become mentors. After they're in college or have kind of aged out of the program. But I think our sweet spot is really age 14, 15, where you're too old. You know, it's not cool anymore to go to an after school, you know, daycare kind of program after school. You're looking for a place, you're looking for your identity. You know, you're looking for who you want to be when you grow up. And this is a group of people to be with who are positive role models for you and who can help you tap into your own potential and help you realize that potential.
Can you give me going in our way back machine, sort of the Clubhouse Network, the origins and how it sort of evolved? You say there's 100 sort of clubhouse programs going. So let's start from the beginning, get a sense of this.
Right. Well, some of your listeners may not be old enough to remember this, but back in the early 1990s, there was a lot of interest in community technology centers that were kind of cropping up all over. But what most of them would do would be to offer a class. You know, you could take a class in learning how to use Microsoft Word, or you could take a class in learning how to develop an Excel, you know, spreadsheet. And that was kind of one model. And another model was that you could come in and bring a floppy disk and, you know, stick it into the computer and play a computer game of some kind. But that's really all there was. And the founders of the Clubhouse, so Mitchell Resnick, who is a professor at the MIT Media Lab, and Natalie Rusk, who at the time was the director of education at the Computer Museum, really had a different vision. And their vision was this notion of providing a place in particular for young people who didn't have access to computers or technology in their schools or in their homes to come and use technology to explore their own ideas. And of course, at the same time, develop skills and build confidence in themselves through the use of technology. So from the beginning, we've had a real focus on not dumbing down to kids. The clubhouses have high-end technology and professional software tools. And one of our early experiences, and I don't think they would mind if I shared this, was with Adobe, so the makers of Photoshop. And Mitchell and Natalie approached Adobe about, you know, could we get a couple of copies of Photoshop to use in this new after-school, you know, learning center that they were starting. And at the time, Adobe, much smaller than it was today, said, you know, sure, but, you know, we just have to warn you that Photoshop is, it's really an adult program. It's not for kids. And Mitchell and Natalie, you know, with this vision that they had, you know, were very respectful, but said, you know, yes, but we think we can use it to its benefit in this context. You know, if you're ever in Boston, you know, please come and visit and check out what we're doing with it. And about 6 months later, someone from Adobe did come. And afterwards, they wrote this letter that I still have the original of, where they said that they were just blown away by what they saw young people, I mean, ages 14, 15, 16, doing with Photoshop. And it really transformed their sense of what was possible, you know, not only with respect to their software, but I think for a lot of people, the Clubhouse transforms their sense of what young people are capable of. A lot of times, in particular, the youth that we serve who come from disadvantaged, marginalized communities are really underestimated in terms of what they're capable of. And, you know, I don't fault the schools for this. They have a very difficult job, and they see young people in a very different context than we see them. But we hear lots of stories, and I've personally seen at the clubhouse that we have at the Museum of Science, young people who may not be all that successful in the formal school educational system that they go through really blossom in the context of the clubhouse and the sense of empowerment they feel there and their ability to get in touch with their own intelligence and their own capabilities and capacity and really you know, turn out to be just wonderful members of their community and have professional careers and just really successful, fruitful lives.
Now, how many years have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 21 years. So.
And how long has the clubhouse been active?
23. So, yeah.
So 23 years, do you know how many students have been through it?
Oh, thousands and thousands. I used to joke that I wish on day one we had the foresight to implant a little computer chip in everybody's forehead so we could keep track of them. And now it's not funny anymore because we're so close to that actually happening.
Quite an alumni. So. But, you know, after 23 years, 21 years, thousands of people, you know, you must have some takeaway in terms of what, you know, what it's delivering into the marketplace of young people.
Oh, absolutely.
What are the key takeaways that you like to think that students have or young people have as they finish your program?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had some independent research and evaluation done, obviously, with that, you know, number of alumni that have come out of the program. And we have an active alumni program as well. But one of the studies we are especially proud of found that among alumni, 97% said that the clubhouse had been the single most important source for them for setting high goals and expectations for themselves. And to me, that's really what I'm most proud of. It's not, I mean, there are, you know, I think 80% said that they're using some aspect of STEM, science, technology, engineering, math in their professional or personal lives. You know, that's a great statistic as well. That's a great data point. But the one that I'm really most proud of is that young people found that the clubhouse was a place that really expected, you know, big and bold things from them, and they rose to the occasion and delivered those, and it really, you know, turned them into the made them the people that they are today, or helped them become the people that they are today.
Very nice, very nice. Just briefly in our last minute, what's your background?
Yeah, I was fortunate to start my professional career in the nonprofit world, and that's actually where. If I fast forward, I met Mitchell Resnick, who later founded the clubhouse. And I worked at the American Association for the Advancement of Science for 3 years. And then with the encouragement of my then boss, decided to go to business school. And didn't really know too much about what I was doing, but I applied to two places, MIT and Stanford. I didn't get into MIT, so I ended up going to Stanford. And
not so bad.
Not so bad, yeah. I think MIT knew what they were doing. I was a better fit for Stanford. And I decided to go into management consulting, thinking that I'd do that for a couple of years and get a sense of the, you know, business problems that I might encounter, challenges, opportunities, and then bring those back to my nonprofit roots. So that was always my intention, but I ended up loving consulting, and so I did that for about a dozen years. And then, you know, I had the proverbial, I don't know if, I don't think of 40 anymore as midlife crisis. It's too young, the older I get. But anyway, at the time I thought, you know, if I'm ever going to go back to my nonprofit roots, it's now. And so I started networking, and in the, you know, classic timing is everything, I happened to call Mitchell to, you know, tell him that I was looking just at the time that the board of the museum was discussing how this computer clubhouse that had been founded a couple of years ago was really onto something, but they needed somebody with a management background or an organization background to figure out how to take it to the next level. So I just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Always helps.
Always helps. And my first visit to the clubhouse, I just fell in love with the place. And, you know, I'm so proud of what we've been able to accomplish over these last 20 years to now be in so many different communities around the world and making such a difference for so many young people.
I can feel your passion. I wish we had more time. I'm sure there's a lot more we could talk about, but if somebody wanted to, and we can always have you back, if someone wanted to find you and the Clubhouse Network, how would they do that?
Yeah, we're at the clubhousenetwork.org, and you know, all of our clubhouses, and there are many in Massachusetts as well as in other states around the country and countries around the world. You know, clubhouses are always looking for adult volunteers who are interested in serving as mentors and, you know, getting a sense themselves, a chance themselves to learn shoulder to shoulder along with young people. So all it really takes is a passion for young people, not so much a technology background, to make an outstanding volunteer mentor. And we're always looking for them in our clubhouses.
Good. Gail, if somebody wants you, what's your email?
It's gbreslow@mos, as in Museum of Science, .org.
I want to thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you,
Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and we've been speaking with Gail Breslow of the Clubhouse Network. Clearly, someone I think worth checking out. I mean, well, I think the Clubhouse is worth checking out. I want to be more specific. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.